My guest today is Kevin Grossniklaus. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
I don't often say this to Americans, but did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm proud of myself. What do you do, Kevin?
I run a software development company in St. Louis called Architect Now. So we develop products for startups all the way to billion-dollar major corporations that run the gamut from web to mobile. We get the fortunate opportunity to play with a lot of cool technologies and use them to build stuff. So that's a very big perk.
Very cool. And you were talking about a big part of your business is the building APIs, both for your mobile applications you're building and sometimes just for your customers to consume without consideration for building the front end. Somebody else will build the front end.
That is exactly correct. I mean, APIs are a big part of every app we build. It's very rare to be an outlier if we built some type of mobile app or a website that didn't have some data on the back end.
Right.
And that data is all API-based. And today, it's JSON in, JSON out. Our preferred stack is, we're a big Azure shop, C#, mm-hmm. ASP.NET Core, big scalable APIs and containers that can be deployed out into the cloud. If we're building a mobile app or a product where we're doing the user interface, obviously that API is a part of our architecture, and then we build the user experience on the front end to interact with that API. Other customers come to us where their need is, like you said, only the API. They've got other means of building a front end, or they might already have a front end, and they need us to help them design an API. I've got customers that are building those APIs as their product, meaning they're going to go to market with an API. They're going to sell some capability that they've abstracted into an API to others, where they have a niche that they think that they can, go to market with that, and other vendors, other partners, clients will use that API in their own products to integrate, build their own front ends to those APIs. So we design literally from the ground up the whole commercial aspect of how do you charge for it, how do you secure it, how do you document it, how do you provide SDKs and samples of, what would somebody using your API need to know to be successful?
That's a lot. We just say, I want to publish a web service. It sounds so simple.
There's
but
a lot here,
you just rattled off a dozen different aspects
everybody,
of that you need to consider.
Yeah, just like anything, if you sell a mobile app, you want to make, you design a user experience where it's easy for your consumer to understand it, to take advantage of whatever features it's going to be doing. On the flip side, an API, you're targeting developers or somebody that's using some tool set that might not be the same you used to build the API. We're using a standard web stack and JSON in and out. They could be Objective-C developers. They could be Ruby developers.
And that's why you're using standards like HTTP and JSON. And
yes.
Like that.
So we're using a standard stack in our API. We're following best practices the industry has kind of evolved to. So we're not, building some API in some unique way that they have to have specialized skills, but it's still, you don't know the level of developer that they might have. Mm-hmm. So providing clear documentation, SDK samples, GitHub repos where, hey, just go here and get the C# front end to my SDK, so they might not need to know the low-level details of how a JSON post to this endpoint is. Mm-hmm. Do we do REST? Do we not do REST? I mean, what fits? So it's strange, but they're fun projects to just literally abstract some business logic behind an API and go to market with that alone.
I find it interesting that if you're building this back-end system, exposing an API, but you're not building the front-end. This is different than the way, in recent years, I've started building applications from the front back. In other words, I build the user interface, and it calls some business logic layer that might call some database layer, might call some API. But the reason I do that is because then I know what my clients are going to call, what their needs are.
Yeah, and we still do that if we're building a mobile app.
Even though that's not a part of the requirement.
Well,
even if you're not, I mean, I'm talking about the situation when the customer just wants an API.
Yeah,
are you building a client for that to drive that?
Not a user interface client. We do build them some small code samples, or we'll put together a C# client or generate it. We'll do documentation of standard use cases. We still spend a lot of time thinking who their user is.
Right.
They know we're going to build an API. We're going to target companies in this industry or this niche, and this is the type of data they're solving a problem that they perceive in an industry. So we need to know about that industry and make sure that our API provides value to someone. And as we're doing that, we're deciding what we need to do and how we need to accomplish it.
Okay.
But it's different than your traditional breakout, go to Lucidcharts or all Balsamic and prototype an interface. We don't necessarily, user experience is different. The user experience is a developer experience for consuming our data as opposed to an end user using a browser.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So it's a similar technology. It's a web stack, but
it's a web stack.
You're just outputting data instead of outputting
and
HTML.
It'd be not fundamentally different than if I was a component vendor like a Telerik or an Infragistics. Mm-hmm. They're designing class libraries or defining things for developers that they know what their developer needs, and they're solving a problem. We're solving a problem for somebody else. We're not selling them a widget they install on a server. We're giving them endpoints, and it's.
I guess that's a challenge that you say they know what their developer needs, and sometimes I, as a developer, think I know what other developers need,
and
I never really know until it actually goes to market, and they say, well, how do I make it do this? And I say, well, I haven't made it do that.
Yeah, I mean, API design is. You know, there's a lot to it, more technical, that we're not getting into, but it's fundamentally similar to just object-oriented class design. I'm designing a class, and I've got public methods, and I've got inputs and outputs, and what do they need to be, and what can I abstract, and what, you know, that abstraction is the value you provide to people using your classes. So we're abstracting some logic behind a web facade that somebody else doesn't need to know about. And it's opinionated. We're doing it in a way we think is best and going to reach the broadest audience. So does anybody that has an open source library, they're opinionated, and they've built a framework or a class that you're just downloading by a NuGet and adding to your project. So whether it be AutoMapper or JSON.net, you get familiar with how they have done their class design and you use it. Yeah. People get familiar with our APIs and use them. So.
Tell me about the process of building an API. What are the considerations, and where do you start? Does it start with a list of requirements from your customer, or are you helping them build those requirements?
We help them build those requirements. No project that we've worked on thus far is really, you know, I haven't had a customer just plop down, you know, a 100-page Word doc that said, here's all the inputs and outputs. The people that are that capable don't really need a firm like myself to help them do it. But no, it is really the inputs and outputs. They look at some problem. It's saying, I need a get person endpoint that accepts these, you know, parameters and returns this data. We spend a lot of time thinking scalability. What do you anticipate? We are APIs, like I said, we're a big Azure shop, so a lot of NoSQL type data, unstructured data. Hmm. Behind the scenes, we're storing it in NoSQL. We use a lot of Redis cache. We try to really go for performance. The nice thing about an API is it's very easy to automate tests of it. I can test the scalability of it. I can script and say I'm going to throw, you know, if it's a add user API endpoint, I can you know, spin up a bunch of processes and throw a bunch of load at that and evaluate that.
Yeah, Azure scales really well dynamically. It scales up and scales back down again.
Yeah, and that's the reason why people would use APIs as opposed to just building functionality, I wouldn't say in-house, but just putting it in a class on the client, is that you provide that scalability, that reliability, backups, things of that nature.
Hmm. Sure, security. And they're also making it available to multiple clients.
Multiple clients. So. We think about all that. We try to really be as platform agnostic on the front end as possible, so that nothing we do has an adverse effect on the client's choice of what they're using to consume our functionality. Hmm.
What's the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge probably comes back to something we talked about earlier, is just understanding the needs. The most successful APIs we've built are customers that have already had, my customers have their customers that they're already working with and have API needs that are very defined. They might not tell us exactly, but they say, this is the exact problem we're trying to solve. We're going to, you know, we know we've already got experience. We've got, you know, relationships and people we can talk to that says, this is exactly what we need. We need it to do these five things. If we know those five things, very easy for us to solve that problem. You know, it's much more nebulous when, you know, they come to us and say, hey, we think there's a need out there for an API that kind of does this. That's a little more vague. So
you need to just nail down exactly what are the inputs, what are the outputs,
it's not all just inputs and outputs. It's who's your customer, what type of data, because it's data, you know, it really comes down to those data points. We've got customers that do inventory management, and they, you know, we've designed some APIs that are so flexible that you can add any attribute to any piece of inventory and then summarize and do reporting. And just like it'd be difficult to build a dynamic user interface for that, it's difficult to build a dynamic API for that.
That's interesting. So the biggest challenge is not a technical one. It's more of dealing with the customer and defining what the requirements are.
Thankfully, to Microsoft and the ASP.NET Core stack, we write much less API code today than we ever have. And that's not to say that we don't. We build more complex APIs with less code.
Why is that?
There's more more of the plumbing that's provided for us. Mm. I mean, we've got access to, you know, very powerful and scalable components in Azure in terms of event hubs and queuing and IoT hubs and things.
That was all code you used to have to write.
Yeah,
yourself.
We had to write that. And if you wanted to, you know, access to spin up containers and scale out, or, you know, highly performant caches that we can use with Redis, all of those things we just turn on and use. Mm-hmm. Those were problems that we had to code for mm-hmm. before. I mean, if you think of the amount of code you write to access a database, if it's SQL Server and you're using Entity Framework, you just write less database code today because you can get more done with less code.
Right.
So weirdly enough, in my career, I write more JavaScript now than I've ever written, because even with TypeScript, we use TypeScript, but we still, even with TypeScript, it tends to be more verbose. C# is much more succinct, and there's tangible libraries that just get the job done much quicker.
Sure.
So, and that makes it very nice. And the tooling is there, so none of our API challenges are in the plumbing. That stuff is easy. Now we're trying to take that plumbing and leverage it to solve people's problems. That's the true challenge. So,
excellent. What have we not talked about that we should? Anything?
No. We are coming to you today from KCDC, Kansas City Developers Conference. So
yeah, great conference. This is my first time here. I'm really
first
enjoying
time
it.
Here. I got my.
You're a Kansas
KCDC.
City native, aren't you?
No, I'm a St. Louis guy.
You're a St. Louis guy.
I'm
right.
a Nebraska native.
I had
the
state right.
State right. So.
Excellent. And do you have an online presence?
I do. At KVGROS on Twitter. My company's website is architectnow.net. I do my blogging and everything else through there. So classes and all the other stuff that we do when people need an API built, that's how they find me.
Kevin, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it. Always fun to talk. Go Big Red, my technology friends.